Welcome back to the Townships at 12. I'm your host, Maureen, and you're listening to The Cube, 88.9 FM. In this half hour, I will be chatting with Canadian singer-songwriter Bobby Bazzini. He will be performing at the Granada Theatre in Sherbrooke on February 26, Thursday. I will also have some health news and some music in this segment. We will start the second half of the show with a song called I Wonder by Bobby Bazzini.
Oh, sometimes I wonder, will you be my shoulder? If I cry, would you comfort me? Yeah. Will you love me forever? And will you take me like no other? 'Cause no, I can't say what's in your heart. Yeah. And I wonder, baby, will you stay with me? Yes, I wonder now what we used to be. 'Cause I wonder, will you always loving me? Yeah. Now I've lost my disguise, so I'll just put it on the line. I think I found what I wanted for so long. Now, will you love me forever? Will you take me like no other? 'Cause no, I can't say what's in your heart, baby. And I wonder, baby, will you stay with me? Yes, I wonder now what we used to be. 'Cause I wonder, with you always loving me, baby. And I wonder, baby, will you stay with me? Yes, I wonder now what we used to be. 'Cause I wonder, will you always love me? Yes, I wonder, will you always love me? Yeah. Said, I wonder, will you always love me? Will you always love me?
Our guest today in the second half of the Townships at 12 is Bobby Bazzini, known for blending soul, folk, and blues into a sound that's all his own, and for songs that are both intimate and powerful. Bobby is bringing his latest show to Sherbrooke, where he will be performing at the Granada Theatre, a venue that's become a real hub for live music in our region. We're going to talk about his music, his creative journey, and what audiences can expect from the upcoming concert. Maureen Dillon Teasdale for The Cube, and today I'm really happy to be interviewing Canadian singer-songwriter Bobby Bazzini. And Bobby, you've had a remarkable career since your breakthrough with I Wonder and your platinum debut, Better in Time. What continues to drive your creativity after all these years?
Thank you. Thanks so much. I almost kind of like break it down to like two chapters in a way, if that makes sense. For me, at least, it's kind of like how I see it. Like, and I think the first part of my career, I was lucky enough to be signed with you know, on a major label and travel quite a bit and have all these, yeah, amazing opportunities to record with different producers and write with different writers around the world. And then, you know, I came at a point where I think it was like by the, almost by the end of the pandemic, I decided to continue independently and I started my own label. And it was kind of like, all of a sudden it felt like just starting again in a way, or like, felt like pursuing something exciting again. And like, I wanted to focus on, you know, just kind of like making records, well, taking my time to make something that feels true to me and where I am today as an artist. And so that's what I've been doing most recently with three releases over the last 3 years, Pearl, Stone of June, and Seul au Cinéma, my first French record.
The Seul au Cinéma, that is your new French language album. What inspired this project and how does it feel bringing it to audiences across Quebec?
Yeah, it feels quite exciting, actually. Of course, it's my first French record. And I mean, I've been really lucky to have this kind of support here singing in English for over 15 years. This has been the main place for me. You know, we've always like wanted to expand everywhere. And like we've have, you know, good stuff happening outside of Quebec over the years. And we keep pushing with every release. It seems like we go a step further. But it's always been like the main territory for me has always been Quebec. And it's kind of like fascinating to me to have this kind of support from a place where, you know, mostly Francophone, you know, come to my shows. And so, yeah, it's just been incredible. And of course, you know, ever since I started doing this, I was always asked, you know, whether it's, you know, interviewing or at shows, you know, people come see me after the show, like, when are you going to release something in French? And of course, it's always been the question. And for me, the answer is because it took so long because even though French is my first language, I learned English later on in my teens. When I was younger, my parents were big fans of country music. So that's all that was playing in the house. And I think it was very formative, I think. I think it was an important part for me. I think creatively, when I started writing, it felt only natural to do it in English. And that's what I've been doing for a long time. And so I guess that's why, you know, I've always kind of like, it's always been more of an instinct to kind of like do it in English. But to do it in French, it's something that has always been in my mind. I always wanted to try to kind of like challenge myself to do it. And but of course, I wanted to find the right time and also find the right songs. And lately, it just felt like, you know, finding Connor Seidel, who's the producer of the last three releases that I've done. And so it's been just incredible writing with him and having him produce the albums. I think he was one of the first one to kind of like push me. He was like, do you ever sing in French and stuff? And then we were working on Pearl at that time. And then I said, maybe after Pearl, we try something in French. And that's what we did.
Now, you're coming to the Granada Theatre in Sherbrooke. That's this Thursday, the 26th. And we've been playing your music for a number of years now. Always really liked your music. Now, you're welcome. Now, your song, Elegant Solitude, seems to tap into a deep theme. Can you tell us what this single means to you personally?
Yeah, I think it's interesting for us. Is like, it's one of the later songs that came to us. I wrote that one with Connor. And also my partner, Odessa. And we're just thinking about that idea of like thinking of solitude, but not experiencing or like wanting to feel solitude, but not necessarily feeling lonely, if that makes sense. So it's more like using that solitude to, you know, for me as an artist, you know, I see it as like you need that kind of like solitude to kind of like your own kind of like bubble, like to write creatively. And so that's kind of like, so it's more like I guess it's a positive angle to see solitude as something that you can use and like use it to do whatever you like. But like, for me, it's really like about creating, get in my kind of like zone and like think about where I want to go next.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah.
Now, your music draws from soul, folk, blues, and more. How do you blend those influences into your own sound?
I love all kinds of genres. I always like something about everything. I think, like, any kind of genres I appreciate and I listen to. But I think it started from an early age where, you know, I discovered country music, I mentioned. But then later on, you know, with friends, I discovered more like bands like The Doors and then Bob Dylan, and which, you know, taps more into folk and rock and blues, of course. And then later on, I discovered soul music through Motown and Stax Records. And I just really fell in love with that sound. I've always been fascinated by music that is not from my time, interestingly. And it's like throughout my career, I think if you listen to my stuff, I think you can kind of tell that kind of like passion for older music, an older era, whether it's folk or soul or like. I think I'm just passionate about that sound. I think of the way they recorded the songs, the simplicity also that was there back then, and of course, you know, voices that are influenced, you know, generations. So it's always been a huge part of my roots, I think I would say.
Mm-hmm. Now, how does performing live influence the way you connect with your songs and your audiences?
It's always been, it's really interesting, this process of like, you know, you spend a lot of time working on something and then eventually, you know, you're going to perform it live and sing it for people. And I think over the years, you know, I started quite young. I was 18, 19. I was very shy. And I remember I barely opened my eyes, you know, barely talked. Still to this day, you know, I have some eyes closed and not much talking, but I improved a lot on that front, I think. But it's always been like, for me, it's like when I get on stage, even at that young age or even today, it's kind of like I step into that kind of that role, you know, like to kind of like maybe take it back to the Cello Cinema thing. But it's kind of like, even though like, you know, I guess I'm more like of a shy type of person, you know, on stage, it's like I become someone else. I don't know. I'm just focus on singing the songs for the people and really get into it. And I remember from a young age, I would watch, like from the early days of YouTube, I would watch some of my like old footage of like some of my favorite singers, like Otis Redding and Marvin Gaye. And I've always been fascinated by those soul performances. And I've always been really, really inspired by that. And I try as much as I can to kind of like inject some of that in my own performances.
Interesting. Do you change your performance style or set from city to city? And what are you most looking forward to coming to the Granada Theater in Sherbrooke?
I think like it's interesting because like ever since I've been playing with this new band that there are two members of the band that were there for a long time. My drummer, Mario Tellaro, I've been playing with since the beginning. And then my bass player, Jonathan Arsenault, for over 10 years. And but there are new musicians that we've added to the group. And they're just amazing. And they keep pushing me every night, you know, to kind of like, I think like I'm more like, because I used to be like younger, I guess, and I used to be like very much, you know, trying to be as close as possible to the songs, you know, to the album. But I think now what I'm trying to do is like live, I'm trying to challenge myself to kind of like not stay in the same place, trying to, you know, trying something new every night. And I think it does help, you know, having a different crowd, you know, a different energy, a different venue. And the band is also very much like that, where we push ourselves to kind of like explore new ideas. And like, even though like, you know, there's a structure to the songs, like, and we respect that, but like we're, sometimes it's fun to just let just your creativity flow and happen. And in the moment, and the Granada, I think, I always look forward to that place. It's such a beautiful venue. with these last three records, it was very much like cinematic kind of ambiance. I feel like when I was working on Salut Cinéma, I was thinking, you know, of theaters, cinemas and stuff. And this is one of the venues that I had in mind for this show. I think it's just going to be perfect. It looks so beautiful.
Mm-hmm. After all the touring you've done, is there a particular moment or a show that stands out to be especially memorable?
I would say there are many, and sometimes it's like every now and then, you know, like, I mean, they're all special for sure, and I always have a good time. But they are, I would qualify them as more like special kind of things. Well, special kind of nights where, you know, it's the ones that rarely happens, you know, like, you know, performing at the jazz fest outside in Montreal where there's like, you know, thousands of people. And that's just incredible. And you only get to do that, you know, I've only got to do it once, but, you know, some people maybe once or twice, you know, like it's like, It's one of those things that you remember forever, I think. And I think about playing on the Plaine d'Abraham in Quebec. That was just incredible as well. I got to do it once. I was opening for Keith Urban, and that was pretty special, I think. So shows like that, or even like playing at the Olympia in Paris. I got to play there a couple of times, and every time it's just so special. Yeah, it's seeing your name on the marquees there, and yeah, it's pretty incredible. So, but you know, like they are also, I'm thinking about, I can't say, you know, 'cause it's too soon. We've only just started this new tour, and I'm sure there'll be a bunch of very special moments, but I'm already thinking and being a bit nostalgic about the Pearl Tour, which happened 2 years ago. And, I was just talking about that with, my guitar player, flute and sax player, Julien Fillion, and we were just saying how much of a good time we had during the Pearl Tour. It was such a beautiful setup, and we were looking forward to repeat that again with this new show.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like some special memories. Now, your career has spanned English and French works. Do you feel that music has a unique power to bridge language and culture?
It seems that way I wouldn't say it just, for my music, I mean, although I've been lucky in that front, you know, because of how much kind of like it had an impact on me, you know, and I think people, you know, coming to my shows, speaking in French, and, you know, like I've, you know, been seeing English words for so long, but I do feel like, you know, more than that, I think it's maybe music, you know, that has that power, I think, to just bring people together. And one example that comes to mind is maybe sometimes it doesn't even need words, I think. Like lately I've been studying quite a lot because I returned to school recently a couple of years ago. And I've just been listening to instrumental music a lot. And it's just been really helping me like get into that kind of like zone, like that elegant solitude, I would say, and it's fascinating that it can do that, like, you know, not even, you know, having words, you know, it's just music that's playing, and it's people made it, and it just I think it has that power, I think. Or even like I was traveling last year in Portugal, and I was hearing music in Portuguese, and I thought it was good, you know, like there's a power to that. I think it's just music brings people together. I think so. I very much think so.
Mm-hmm. That is interesting. Wonderful answer. Anything else we left out that you'd like to add, Bobby?
No, I think other than like, if you're curious about, you know, my music, check out my website, bobbybazini.com, or also I'm on social media. You can type my name and find me there, and I'll be announcing some new shows real soon, the tour will keep going for this new record, even outside of like the dates that are unveiled, and there'll be more, so excited for the summer as well, and yeah, to keep playing. Thank you for the interview.
Oh, thank you. Some exciting plans coming up. We've been talking with Bobby Bazini, Canadian singer-songwriter, coming to the Granada Theatre in Sherbrooke this Thursday, February 26th. So definitely get your tickets online. And thanks very much, and all the best with your tour.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And next up, we have some health news here on the Townships at 12. Now, as we move from late winter toward early spring, our bodies go through a bit of a transition right along with the weather. Longer daylight hours and milder temperatures can boost mood and energy for many people. But this time of year also brings some common health challenges to watch for. First up, immunity. Cold and flu season isn't quite over yet, and we're also entering the start of allergy season. Tree pollen can begin appearing as early as March, which means sneezing, itchy eyes, and congestion for some people. Keeping windows closed on high pollen days, washing hands often, and staying well hydrated can help. Next is energy and sleep. With more daylight, your internal clock may start shifting. Some people feel more motivated and active, while others feel tired or out of sync for a few weeks. Try to get outside in natural light during the day and keep a regular bedtime to help your body adjust. This is also a good time to pay attention to vitamin D. Many Canadians are low after winter, which can affect mood, muscles, and immunity. Getting outside when the sun is out, even for short walks, can help, along with foods like eggs, fish, and fortified milk or alternatives. Hydration is another big one. Cold weather often makes us forget to drink water, but as temperatures rise and activity levels increase, hydration can sneak up on us. Aim for regular sips throughout the day, even if you don't feel thirsty. Finally, this seasonal shift is a great time to gently get moving again. Stiff joints and sore muscles are common after a less active winter. Start slow with walking or stretching to avoid injury. So as time moves ahead, think of this as a reset season. Support your immune system, get some fresh air, stay hydrated, and listen to your body. Small habits now can make a big difference in how you feel heading into spring. And that's our health news today on the Townships at 12. You're listening to the Townships at 12 on theCUBE, CJMQ 88.9 FM here in the Eastern Townships. And I'm your host, Maureen Dillon Teasdale. I want to thank my guest today in the first half hour, Diane Labors, director at the Lennoxville Vocational Training Center. Check out the center online. And in the second half hour, Bobby Bazzini, Canadian singer-songwriter coming to the Granada Theatre in Sherbrooke this Thursday, February 26th. Get your tickets online. And if you want to get involved with the station, please give us an email, cjmqnews@gmail.com. If you belong to a nonprofit organization and you would like to have an interview on CJMQ, or you have an event coming up, just email me at cjmqnews@gmail.com. It's free. We will close today's show with a song called Elegant Solitude, a new song by Bobby Bazzini. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
De rêver et d'en sortir.